This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday, and I hope that you have had the most amazing week. Thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Toy. If this is your first time, let me give you a hearty welcome. This is a safe space. I talk about all kinds of conversations, from things happening on these internet streets to things that we should be taking account for when it comes to our mental health. Listen, I am here to bring it all. This week, we're switching it up to the social media platform. If you have not or do not follow me on TikTok, change that. Go ahead over there and follow me on TikTok, because we have a lot of talk about that took place on TikTok, stories that I saw there, and we're going to bring them here. Then I'm going to bring one from Facebook and just go ahead and give a little light to it, because I think sometimes we get caught up in what people look like and certain things. And are y'all okay out there? It's given y'all not okay. But here, this is a safe space. So let's have a conversation about it. Shout out to all the parents that have gotten their children out to the first days of school, gotten good pictures, all of the things. We still have like a week or a week and a half left to go. So we still on our summer break over here. But I'll be joining the ranks of sending my kids to the back to school. Of course, I'm doing last minute shopping. Of course, doing last minute pickup. My oldest is doing her, you know, she's aesthetic now. She's got to have her aesthetic gear and things. So listen, I'm all here for it. Like, let her have her things, because this girl getting good grades and we want to continue that pattern. Okay. So shout out to all the parents. This has been just a crazy time. Fall isn't even here yet, and Starbucks said, y'all gonna get this fall, and y'all gonna take it, and that's just what it's gonna be. So if you don't know, Starbucks has their fall menu already out. Now, there's a few favorites that I will like, that I do love, which is the apple, I don't know what it is, it's like an apple cake. Ooh, my God, today, it's absolutely delicious, and I think they have their pumpkin cream something latte. Ooh, my God. So yes, I'm excited that the fall items have come, even though, again, they have come rather quickly. For me personally, I am still deep into my therapy. Let's praise the Lord for therapy. So I am still deep yet into therapy. and all the good things. So those types of things are what I'm working on, what I'm focusing on, making sure that I'm mentally healthy and ready to go, getting all the things situated and done. So yeah, I'm thinking about all those things. And this has been a week, these last few weeks have been really stressful. And I won't say stressful for anything that means like that's taking me out. Like stress doesn't always have to come in a form where it feels like it's, you know, making you suffocate or anything like that. Like for me, stress is just the way that sometimes I work. It does work for me sometimes, and my best to try to allow that stress to do what it needs to do. So that's kind of what I'm working on. But therapy has been happening almost every week. I have been absolutely enjoying being able to have somewhere to release my own personal stress. If you don't have that, I can't stress enough how important it really is to have a sounding board, someone who can listen to you, someone who can make sure that they give you what you need, because you do need it. If it's something that you need, I highly suggest that you go ahead and get it, because I can't tell you enough just how amazing it is to do what you have to do. Like to take care of you, to put yourself first is not selfish. And I know so many people will tell you that, but it's not. I promise you that it's not. This has been the week of the DNCs, which is the Democratic National Convention, and it's been going well. I've been loving the energy. I've been loving the messaging. I think making sure that not only putting it back to Trump on the things that he has said, which has been lies, not only just dispelling those things, but also making sure that we put the plan out like, okay, he's doing this, but we're going to do this. I'm loving all of that. I am on the team that kind of helps put out content. And so I'm really grateful for us to get good updates and just to see the way that everybody's been so receptive. And listen, I can't stress enough how if you go into the comment section of places where things are posted, you're going to see a lot of foolishness in the comments. Sometimes they kind of want to like hopscotch you in or double dutch you in. Don't let people engage you to that point. Like I don't argue with folks on the internet as much. Like I'm here for like a 1-2 comment and then I'm done. Like I can only give you but 1 or 2 comments, because after that, you're going to just think what you want to think. You're going to feel the way that you're going to feel. And it's just going to be what it's going to be. But I digress. Let's get into the conversation for this week. On TikTok, there was a story of a young woman, 17 years old, and her brother were in the home. I'm assuming the mother was at work. The mother had the 17-year-old clean the house from top to bottom. 20-year-old is in the room smoking and playing video games. Mother wants to know why the 17-year-old did not cook for her 20-year-old brother. I made a large conversation around that that took up a life on its own, as it should, personally, as it should. And I just stated the obvious. First of all, the young girl who made the video, first of all, the mother has been doing this for quite some time, either making the daughter do things that, in my opinion, are plain ridiculous, and or abusing this daughter. Now, there were people who slid into the comment section. Thankfully, they excused themselves on out of there, saying that there's no way for us to know if the child was abused. Let me help you out, because there's some people who just don't get it. No child should ever feel or look as if they're scared, traumatic, or even look like as if they have been traumatized. Okay. And as much as that little, and I say little girl, because, you know, she's 17, she's not a little girl, but that young woman should not have been as scared as she was, as in high alert as she was, because that further lets me know that she's being abused. So you're being abusive to your daughter, making the daughter go through all these different things, but the 20-year-old is allowed to sit like he's the king of Zumunda, sitting in there waiting for his 17-year-old sister to cook. And when the mother got home and discovered that all her precious baby, all he had was cereal, she went off on the 17-year-old daughter. It's amazing to me how some of these boy moms work, how you can, you know, sit on the backs of your daughters and make them strong by abusing them, telling them all these different things, ignoring them and doing all these different things. But you can allow your 20-year-old son, big back son, able-bodied son, to sit up there and do absolutely nothing with his life, do absolutely nothing with his time, and have expectations that there's some woman, young woman, sister, mother, girlfriend, whomever, has to go get up and do something for somebody who's doing nothing. It's amazing. Here's the thing. The comment section already gave what it needed to give. The comment section let me further know that there are so many women who have gone through this where they have a mother who is outright ridiculous, outright abusive, outright rude, inconsiderate, and have these high expectations that their child is supposed to get up and do and clean, and the disrespect goes on and on and on. And so many of you, unfortunately, that were in the comment section had so much agreement, which makes me sad, because that means, one, you either have good common sense, you can see for yourself what took place, or two, you've unfortunately been through that, and so many had. A lot of people were upset. A lot of people were in their feelings. They were just upset because it was the notion of, the fact that if the mother says she's supposed to do something, it don't matter what it is. It does matter. It does matter. Let me just explain something to you. There's a lot of people, and especially mothers, who don't have an ounce of emotional intelligence, okay? And to have expectations and to say that because you are the parent that you can basically bully your child is unbelievable. And here's another concept. There are some parents who become their children's first bully. And I know some people was mad. Some people were mad. Listen, you can put a mask over your eye all you want to and pretend to yourself as if you're this great mother because you did all the things that the father wouldn't do. And here's why I say this becomes a problematic situation. I had wrote a blog a few years ago. It's been quite a long time. Might have been one of my second year in blogging. And I talked about the toxic mother. And the toxic mother is the type of mother who, again, she doesn't have a choice. The father steps out of the life. He's not present. So, of course, the mom does what she has to do to make sure that she's there and available and takes care of these kids. And because she stayed, because she's helped raise these kids, because she's done all these things, she feels like she should pat herself on the back because she's done these things. I hate to burst your bubble, but that is the job of a mother. Unfortunately, when you pick or choose who you'd lay down with, it is unfortunately a consequence of the actions. Okay. So you don't get brownie points for being a mom. I don't give myself brownie points for being a mom. And I have my husband who's been by my side since day one. And I don't give myself kudo points for being a mom alone just because, right? And so these moms who stay and they raise these kids, they feel like they're entitled to do, say, and act. And honestly, a lot of them are acting outside of their own trauma. I mean, we can act like it's not the case, but it is. So acting outside of their own trauma, being belligerent to their own children, being dismissive to their own children, disrespectful at best, so many different levels that have taken place. It's amazing to me how many people have gone through this. The reason why I said the mother lacks emotional intelligence is in her demonstration and how she handled the situation. Telling your child that you're going to put them out because they didn't cook food for a 20-year-old is mind-boggling to me. And it says a lot, because you want to dangle the carrot of stability over your child who at 17 years old couldn't go get an apartment even if they try. Who at 17 years old is not even emancipated to go do the things that 18 or grown people, quote unquote, can do. Okay. She has not held a job enough that would pay a bill. Most Americans can't even pay bills and live in their apartments. And now you're expecting a 17-year-old to go do the same because you're putting her out. Where exactly were you expecting her to go? Well, she can just go with her friends. Oh, she can just go with some family. Or she can just lay on the streets. I don't care until she decides she's going to come back in this house and cook for my son. Do you hear how that sounds? Do you hear how that sounds? If there were cameras back when I was a child, growing up, I can almost guarantee you, most parents would be in jail right now. There'd be a lot of parents in jail, a lot of parents whose homes or their livelihoods would be snatched. A lot. And so then the second video that I made up had to do with a comment that somebody made talking about how a lot of the church women were so mean and they were just like that. And I could not agree almost 2000%. I mean, if I could have agreed more, I would have done so, because it's 100 or 200% correct. Unfortunately, a lot of the church mothers are the same ones who sit on the altar praying for the young folks, but then they're the same ones who deliver the young folks into the hand of the enemy. And I said that very, very, very clearly. Now, that may not make sense to somebody who has never grown up in a church, but welcome. I'm a PK. That means I am a preacher's kid. I've seen it all. I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. I've seen the ones who got into the church, the pulpit, and shouted the church down and went home and abused their kids in the same breath. I've seen all kinds of things. I could write books on the things that I've seen, on the things I know, on the things that just have been witnessed. There's a lot. So yes, I 100% agree with the comment that the person made, because nothing that that person said wasn't true. Everything that was said was 100% on the money. There's a lot of church women that, because they don't use curse words like the mother of this video had done, that means that they are somehow different and better than the ones, the mother who cussed their kids out. You don't have to use cuss words out to cuss out somebody. I don't understand how we don't understand that concept. Like, when I'm in my good thought process and somebody's in disturbing my peace, I literally can clear you without even using a cuss word. Now, I usually prefer to use cuss words. That's just me. I prefer to use them. I'm not telling you that you have to communicate that way. That's just some way that I will go. And I try my best, especially when I'm talking to elders. Here's the thing. A lot of people use their ages and their stages and their titles to excuse bad behavior. I personally do not. I don't care if you're my mother, my father, a sibling, an auntie, a grandparent. I'm not excusing your bad behavior just because you think that I should.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions, hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
The way to excuse bad behavior is when a bad behavior does not exist. When bad behavior comes, I'll give you the first time to try to come to you diplomatically and have a conversation with you, because, you know, conversation is good for the soul. But we know that, just like clockwork, I've unfortunately had to get a little louder. I've unfortunately had to clear a few folks, and they have been what's considered my elder. Now, before you come for me and say, you shouldn't talk to your elders like that, you're 100%. You're 100% correct. Here's what also cannot happen. We also cannot treat grown people like they're still children and then expect the same response. I had a situation where there were several members of my family who, again, must have thought in their brain, I think it was 30 at the time. Matter of fact, I know for a fact it had to be at least 30, because the time that I'm thinking about this conflict that took place, I had already had my first child at 28, and I could honestly believe all three of my kids was here. So I had to be about 33, 34. I'm 43, so it had to be 10 years ago. And I had a few family members that decided to come and be like the habitual line steppers. And I was like, what's happening here? Like, what is happening here? What is happening here? Okay. And in the midst of this, all this stuff that was happening, thinking to myself, all the thing that went place and took place, I was at first trying to give grace. And then Grace said, let me take a back seat, because me and Grace, we weren't friends at the time, and she had to take a back seat. And so the first time I had a conversation, I gave Grace. Grace came with me. We were best friends at that point. The second time, and to the third time, and as a matter of fact, I didn't get past the third, because by the third time, Grace has said she wasn't even coming to talk to me. She didn't send me no text message. She didn't get through to me, and I had to make it known. Now, when I start off conversations like that, when things get heated and it's an elder, again, I try to take the high road. Okay. A lot of times I just said, okay, let me just take a deep breath. Let me calm down. So I may get a little loud. Then I'm like, okay, let's always step it back. I've done that. But when we cross the line of, I've already stepped it back. And when we cross the line of disrespect, okay. And to me, disrespect isn't disagreement. So we don't have to agree. But in the way in which the tone in which you speak is got to be correct, because I'm not 11 years old. So some family members will look at you as you're still a kid, and they will talk and proceed any old type of way because they have the expectation that their age or stage will cover them, and it won't. I just don't know where people must have gotten this idea that I was going to be like a lay down and get down type of person. I don't know. But it didn't work out. I say this to say, we have got to bring respect. Has to be earned. It's earned. When you start the demanding, then that's when I'm going to tune you out, because that means you didn't earn my respect. So you went to another level to where you can control my respect. And that's when I have to let everybody know, I'm not letting anyone control my respect. You want respect, you'll give respect. I know people who in their 70s, 80s years old, that if they ask me to do anything, I'm here for them. You know why? Because they love, they show care, they show concern, and they're respectful, and they're worthy of respecting. Sometimes I feel like when people have to go and try to force you to respect them, it already proves they haven't done enough to earn the respect. They haven't done enough to be respectful. You're not a respectful person, and asking me to respect you is mind-boggling at the bigger age of 43. I don't have that type of energy. So again, I try not to pop off because I'm living my life for the Lord. And in addition to that, I also do not want to go and do something that, again, I'm going to have to come back and walk my words back. I promise you that if any apologies needed to be taken place, which there were, it had nothing to do by what I said. It may be in the fact that maybe I could have dug a little bit deeper for grace. But my words, I don't usually walk the words back. Anything that took place, and I'm thinking about this particular situation that took place, I never walked the words back. I may have worked back the way in which the words were used, but I never fully walked the words back. I didn't feel the need to. I didn't feel like it was good. It didn't need to be done because what I said is what I said, and I was standing 10 toes down, especially when I know that I'm right. I really just pray for that young lady. I really do pray for that young lady because I can't imagine the stress, the mental anguish. And, you know, people always talk about why young people have high suicide rates, why young people have these things, because they're dealing with drama and trauma that are taking place in their home. Has to be the worst level of drama, because when you go out into the world and you have drama, you know that eventually you'll come home and this is your safe space. Like in my house, we talk about that all the time. We tell them when you go out there, everybody ain't going to agree with you. When you go out there, there being the world, everybody ain't going to like you. You ain't going to be everybody's tea. But when you come home, you can't be fighting the same battle out there that you have to fight out here. And I think that's the problem that parents don't understand. Why are you not creating a safe space for your child? Are you going to agree with your children on all things? No. I have been telling my kids for a long time, as they become, they're older, they're starting to tap, you know, deep into their teenage years. I got one that's about to be an adult and very little by the time. I don't want her to do things to make me happy. I've said that before to her, and I've said that to her numerous times. Don't do things to make me happy. Find ways to make you happy, but honor yourself in whatever that you do do. Like whatever you do, and you feel like that's a decision that is for you, and I may not agree with it, make sure that it honors you first. And if it honors you first, but it's in a disagreement to me, eventually I'll come through. But one thing that will never change, even in my midst of my disagreement, is my love for my child, right? I don't have to like what they're doing. I don't have to give them a side eye every time I go to see them to remind them every 2.3 seconds that I don't like it. Okay. There's that balance. So I pray that people understand that you don't have to be your child's first bully. You choose that. Like, I need you to understand how much is a choice. You're choosing that when you don't have to. You're making that to be so. So that young lady is going through it with the parent, and I pray for that child. Then another conversation took place on Facebook on one of a cousin of mine's page. So it's not something you can go back and look. I will put the TikTok of my response so you can look at that, and the follow-up response about the church women. You can look at both of those. But this particular situation was a conversation. And in this video, you'll clearly see it's not even a video. It's a picture of a bunch of young ladies. And at first it said that made it seem as if these were like junior high kids or elementary school kids. And you see them with the bust down, middle part, you know, wigs and things like that. And it really could have just been extensions. It could have been all kind of stuff. But in the picture, it's a bunch of what would consider somebody to look grown. You know, Black community, they love to talk about what's too grown for children and what's, you know, what's age appropriate. And there is some truth to that. Some things that are age appropriate. But then it came out because, you know, I love to research before I comment because I hate to look like an ass when you can just simply research, right? Just simply research. So as I researched, I discovered that these young ladies were in high school. Okay. They were in their upper levels of high school. And the fact that they were in high school and people were commenting and saying that these wigs or weaves were too grown was a little mind-boggling. One comment in particular made the comment about, you know, they're bringing in things, they're going to cause attention that they're not ready for. Here's the thing. As a young lady, I have gotten attention as a kid. My parents didn't allow me to wear pants. I couldn't even wear pants. So even in skirts, and these weren't just your little average skirt. This weren't skirts like people were wearing today. These were skirts that had to go all the way down to the ground. Like your whole ankle had to be covered. And even with my dress covered down to my cankles, I promise you that I was getting attention from grown men, even with that on. Now, some will say, yes, you'll get attention from that because men are raggedy and they're trash and they're doing this and this stuff. And so you just don't want to invite them in. By telling young women that they can't wear certain things based upon the behaviors of raggedy men, but not telling your sons to act like they have some damn common sense is problematic. And I feel like a lot of older women do this. They will make these commentary about what girls should be wearing, girls should be doing, how girls should react. You know, women, men, people in general just love policing young women. They love telling young women what they should be doing. You should be at home, working in the home. You should be doing all these different things. We never tell our sons how to act right. And the person, unfortunately, and this is not to be a disrespect to them. I actually dated their son, so I know what I'm talking about. A lot of them in this particular situation says they don't get that nobody is telling the sons to act right. Nobody is telling the sons how they're supposed to perceive. Nobody is telling the sons how they need to act. But we want to put the stress on the daughters and how they're dressing, which I find to be mind-boggling. Now, without dispelling and disparaging an ex, because that's not what I'm going to do, what I will say is that if we put more energy on the sons versus the women, I think we'd be in a better place. I really do think that we'd be in a better place. So I'm not concerned about whether or not a high schooler is wearing a wig or a weave, because some people's hair, one, they want to protect it because, you know, it's already done. If you have a wig or you have a weave in and you're taking care of it, it's already pre-done. That's already saving you time. That's number one. Number two, a lot of these young girls can do their own hair. A lot of these young girls learn from a young age how to put a bust down, and they can do their own hair and their friend's hair and all the other things. It's not about the money. It's not about that. It's about the fact that we're still in this day, age of 2024. We're still talking about what women are wearing in response, but where are the conversations about policing these young men about how they act? We spend so much time telling a young lady about what she shoulda, coulda, woulda, and if you start judging people right off the bat of what you think you see, I promise you, you will be looking like the back of a donkey. It is just the truth. Now, that's not a disrespect to the person who made the comment. Again, I've dated this person's son. I do know them very well. I know them personally. My parents still hang out with them. It's not a dig. It's just a point of, when are we going to be enlightened? When are we going to get to the point where, as we put all this energy into the women, we ain't putting not a slick of energy into these young men? That's just my point. And I 100% stand by that. I 100% stand by that. For instance, my daughter, she has her hair usually in braids or whatever she chooses to wear, curls, however she wants to wear it. And for her, we protect her hair. Her hair is very nice and long and very much healthy underneath. We do, but hair over the fact that this child is in honors classes, hair over the fact that she's one of the most respectful young women that I have ever known, hair over the fact that she has attributes to her that even over exceed mine. I'm not going to get caught up in my daughter's hairstyle, right? I'm just not. That's just me. And another parent, that could be their choice. How they run their house don't have nothing to do with me. But I want my daughter to have autonomy over her own body. I want her to understand that she's the one who has to wear these hairstyles. So I'm not about to tell her, you put them ponytails in your hair. Ma'am, she's in high school. She's about to be a young lady. She has to get to the point where she starts to learn what's for her and what's not for her under my care and tutelage. Because what's going to happen when she's out there and she really can do her own thing? I want her to be as strong and as confident as she possibly can. But not, we can't do that when we're talking about, oh my God, she's wearing down, she's wearing a wig. Oh my God, she's wearing some weave. Oh my God, she has braided hair. Oh my God, she has on a skirt. Oh my God, she has on these certain things. But again, I'm just going to say, if you're going to judge, if you're going to come at one, make sure you get them boys under control. So think about the fact that this picture has been floating over the internet. And while everybody is dissecting these pictures and telling these young ladies what they should look like, think about what they're thinking. First, they could be thinking it's good for clout, because a lot of young girls, they love that, you know, hey, my picture, we're viral. But then think about the fact that it's one thing to have people outside of your culture judge you, but think about the millions of people that are making these comments. And the fact that I've seen so many of these other young ladies that I've seen in this post that was posted on my cousin's page making comments about what they don't know. I'm going to just share an example. I was at an event. It was a beautiful event, and there was two young ladies that came. And at first, right off the bat, I judged. I was like, oh, look at this ghetto foolishness. Like, they're going to be a mess. This, and that. And I'm telling you what I did. So this is why I take a role from my own playbook, okay? Here, these were two very prominent doctors. To this day, they are people who I talk to on a regular basis. To this day, they live the life of luxury, not just because they're doctors, but because of the way they run their socials and things that they've been able to obtain. They were amazing content creators. And here I was, not knowing them from bats out of hell, and I'm already judging them about what I thought they were because of what they quote unquote look like. And when I tell you affluent, they take affluency and they are like the picture of them is sitting right next to it. They are the epitome of the things that I'm already trying to obtain. They've already been there and done that. Okay. So that's the type of thing that I'm talking about when it comes to judging people off of what you think something is happening when you don't know the truth, when you don't know people. I had to learn that a few years ago. So I'm just telling you, before you judge a person by what you think that they are, who you think that they are, I'm just going to give you a challenge to maybe get to know people, maybe know the whole story. Research. When you see something online specifically, I want you to just do a couple of research. Hit your button, start typing up. You may discover the truth before you put yourself on a social media platform. Say something that even when you delete it, screenshot baby girl, baby boy, these screenshot people are real. And they will find a way to show that you said what you said. So be careful in these streets. What's on today's to be a fly on the wall segment? My fly on the wall moment for this week was when Oprah decided to show up at the DNC. First of all, that's a no-brainer. She is Chicago all the way through and through, so it made sense. But a lot of people did not know that she was going to be there. And the energy that I saw when she arrived on stage was absolutely amazing. Again, I cannot stress, they had been pulling out all the stops. They've had Patti LaBelle. They've had Little John. They've had John Legend. They really pulled out the stops. But again, that's what is supposed to happen. It happened at the RNC. It's just what it is. So again, we have less than 3 months awaiting us to select a president. And I need you to do yourself a big one by making sure that you are fully registered. In the link in the bio, I'm going to make sure that I put in the show notes how you can get registered, an actual place where you can check for registration, because a lot of these websites, especially things in like in Texas, are trying to have you go to one site and basically trying to derail you from being actually registered. So you want to make sure that whatever you go to, make sure that it's a .org. Those are the ones that you usually can trust, or .gov. Those are things that you definitely want to trust, because again, you want to make sure that you are going to the right sites and getting the right information. What have I been watching this week, obviously, is the DNC. It's been giving me life. Sometimes I've been having to catch it up after it's done, just because I do have already prior engagements that are on my calendar, usually about a month in advance. Thus is why I do not like when people try to do last minute things all the time, because it's just not my thing to do last minute anything. It's just not. So I've really been enjoying it. What have I been reading? I cleared and cleaned out my bookshelf. I did a post about, you know, for I think it was National Book Lovers Day. This was like a week or so ago. So I've really been cleaning and clearing and just getting back into my Tamara Mowry book to read more about her story and really trying to make sure that I understand, like, just how, you know, things that she's ever been through, especially like in her marriage and being a mom, trying to work, trying to be the woman that she wants to be. And those are types of things that I'm really just really, really focused on. The name of the book is called You Should Sit Down for This. So I've been really just dusting that off, really getting into it, reading that book all over again. Some parts that I felt like I missed a few times, going back and just refreshing. Sometimes it's really good to just read a good book and have a great glass of wine, just because I happen to be a wine drinker. I really like to relax and unwind. I'm still in my digital detox. It's been going great. I've really been able to see the things that I've been, and, you know, things I'm watching, how to take less time away from the things that I'm already doing. I've been getting more sleep, paying more attention to my relationship, paying more attention to my children, especially when it comes at night, doing my nighttime routine again, because I had stopped that for a while. Because again, by the time you get caught up in all the things that you're getting caught up in, you don't even realize, oh my gosh, like this has happened, this is taking place. And so that's kind of what I've been focusing on, just making sure I do that. In addition to the book, slowing it down a little bit, taking care of myself. We're about to step into fall with less than about a month. And it's going to be important because we're already switching over to new vibes as far as like the weather's been getting cooler here earlier, which is weird. And, you know, the fact that, again, we're in some new routines. People are putting their kids back in school. So people are going back into the office. Even if you're a remote worker, you want to make sure that you take care of yourself in that way. So if you are a remote worker, I just so happen to also write a blog post about remote work and how you can take care of your self-care. A few gadgets that I actually do have, a diffuser for my desk, one that plugs right into like a USB, really is helpful to making sure that you, you know, are taking care of yourself when it comes to like making sure you're not sick, making sure you stay healthy. Certain essential oils are really good for that, making sure you pay attention to that. Also making sure that you get on your vitamin regimen, get yourself eating better, taking care of yourself, preparing meals. Listen, if you have a crock pot, that should be your best friend. If you don't have a crock pot, you should be meal prepping. Why? It's going to save you time. You don't have to worry about what dinner's going to be. You kind of already know where you stand. So I highly suggest that you do those types of things as we are about to step into the fall, but the fall season. As we still are in the summer months, we're ending the summer. I pray that you have more family time. Again, I can't stress enough, this has been a great week of family time for the store family. We have really been doing a lot. I am blessed with my blog that I'm able to do a lot of activities that don't require me to, you know, allows me to save money. But we have really been just really stepping it up with making sure that we engage with one another, we ignite with one another, we unite with one another. And I'm hoping that you do the same as the summer begins to start to close. Remember to take care of you. Remember to get out. If you like to go to the beach, I've only gone to the beach twice this season. I may try to squeeze in one more. That is the goal. And the reason is that, again, everybody deserves a little bit of relaxation. Everybody deserves a little bit of downtime. And I'm here for all things downtime. I can't express that enough. So take care of you. What do you need? How can you be better, you know, and make sure that you fill your cup up a little bit more? I am always for that, filling the cup. It's beyond social media. It's beyond what you see. It's beyond arguing with people, which, again, I'm giving you two comments and that's about it. I personally don't have the bandwidth to argue with people I don't even want to see in real life, right? Even if I know you, if I don't see you in real life, I don't sit underneath your table, I'm not arguing with nobody. I'm giving you two comments and that's about all I can give you. If after I give you two comments and you're still saying something, you'll have to talk to Jesus because you'll be arguing with yourself because I won't have nothing more to add to the conversation. It doesn't matter. I don't allow people to bait me. I don't allow people to tag me into things and try to get me to comment. I'm not, it's just not for me. I think that at the end of the day, I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to take care of my businesses and I'm going to mind my business, right? I'm going to mind the business that pays me and I'm getting paid and doing what I need to do on my own. I don't have time. So yeah, I would stress, you know, if you need to engage, put yourself at a 2-comment limit. That's what I do. 2 comments. I don't care if I know you in real life or I don't. I'm not allowing you to engage me. I'm not allowing you to bait me, especially not online where things can be screenshot, because not that I'm concerned. If I say something, I probably will repeat it. Most likely will, because that's just the type of person I am. A lot of people be confused about me. They think that because I'm always about self-care and mental health and wellness, that I'm not going to comment. Like, I don't know where we got that idea from. Like, where do we get that from? Because I'm here for the comments. I'm always here for a good argument. I'm good for a good debate. But I've also realized when I've gotten older that half that stuff don't even matter. None of that stuff is paying anybody. Somebody posted to get a reaction, got the reaction, and it's time to keep it moving. Like, there's too many things going on in the world to be concerned. So again, I have always been, not always, but I would say the last 10 to 12 years, I'm on a 2-comment basis. I'm going to give you 2 and then I'm going to keep it moving. And some things I might even see it. And a lot of times I see stuff, people will send me things and I'd be like, I'm not even engaging. It's not even worth it. Like, why? Right? Why am I going to engage further? Why do I have to say something on something? I have platforms. If I choose to say something, I can say it there. I could. If it's personal, I don't have the energy. I don't need to bring everything to this platform. I choose the things that I bring to this platform. I bring the things to this platform that I feel like it's going to help somebody else. When I tell you that I engage with elders, got caught up in the drama of going back and forth with them, said what needed to be said, didn't apologize for the need for me saying what I said, but maybe apologize for the delivery. I know what I'm talking about. When I'm telling you to step back from people because people will bait you and they don't care, I'm telling you, I know for what I know. What I'm telling you, when you want to get caught up in all these different things about how people treat other people, I'm telling you because I know what I know. When I saw that young lady go through what she went through with her parents and her family, I've seen it in real life. So I understand. I've seen it before. It's not something that I'm just talking about because it's something that happened on the internet. I can tell you a couple of stories. So again, I want us to be clear about how we engage, how we show up. And instead of engaging with somebody who, again, if I don't sit underneath your dinner table, and I wouldn't sit underneath your dinner table, I'm not giving you that energy. I need people to do more of that, because I promise you nothing is worth all of that other foolishness. Not. They're not. I'm trying to make sure that I get my son, his birthday is coming up. I'm trying to get him together. I have a niece that has the same birthday. What's she going to do? Like, I'm making sure that all the kiddies in my life that I'm responsible or have the love and adoration for, are they good? Do they need something? Outside of that, I'm more about taking care of myself. I'm taking care of the thing that matters to me. I'm making sure that my cup is completely full. And so I want you to do the same. Pour into your cup, fill your cup up, and take care of you. One mental health suggestion that I can say is that we're going from one season. We're going from summer, where everybody's spirit is mostly high. We're going into the fall, which will then touch into the winter. If you know that you deal with seasonal depression, I need you to start putting in a plan today, right now. The second you heard this statement, I need you to think about the plan. I have a friend that I check in on, because she and I both have seasonal depression. And so we kind of check on, like, hey, what's been working for you? How are you doing? And when we ask each other how we're doing, we know it's not that surface level of it's okay, everything is fine. Sometimes when I ask her how she's doing, things may not be okay. When she asks me how I'm doing, things may not be okay. But I need you to get a plan. Find ways, especially in the top of like November and October, when it's still yet, it's cold, but it's not freezing, it's not snowing, to get out. I don't care, you know, put on a jacket, put on a sweater, put on a hat, whatever you have to do. But the plan to start planning for that is now. Finding out what works. Do you need a journal that's specific to the winter or the colder months? Do you need to find an indoor activity, like maybe sign up for a workout class that you know you can commit to, that is going to protect you and guide you during that time? Do you need to take up a class to learn a new skill? Whatever you need, I need you to put the plan in motion. You don't wait. Don't wait. Do not wait until you're deep into it to discover you're too deep into it and now you feel like you can't get out. One, know that there's always a way to get out. Know that there's always a way to get out. There's no depression that you're in that's so deep that you just have to lay there and take it. You may have a tough time coming out, but you can come out. I'm a living witness. I've had times when I've been so overwhelmed and overtaken, it felt like I couldn't even get up and cook for myself. I couldn't get up and cook for my family. I couldn't take care of my kids, especially when I was in like postpartum depression. That is real. That is real. You're going to be judged in your mental health, your journey. And this is why I learned something, not learned, but I reiterated something I saw on the internet this week. This man was telling you four things you shouldn't tell family and friends. Stop telling everybody your therapy sessions. Stop telling everybody your therapy sessions. Now, I personally do share some things in therapy that I learned because, one, I don't mind giving the information because I feel like it's going to help somebody else. But you, as a regular individual who may not have a platform, I'm telling you to be very careful of what you share from your therapy sessions to other people. And the reason is this: so many people will use what you tell them in therapy as a way, and I mean as an absolute way, to use that information against you. I was going through some postpartum. I had somebody say to me, this is not a lie, this is very much true, that they were going to help me to help my partner, my husband at the time. Well, was we married at the time? We might've been married. We might've been just engaged. Most of our time together has either been engaged or married. And said that they would help them to get my kids taken from me so that he could get full custody because I was having mental health issues. Here's the problem. If my husband had not divulged the information to that person because they did not have a reason to know what was going on, they wouldn't have had that. So we talked about that, and we've talked about this on the blog about that particular time. But there are real life people who will try to do that. They will try to use your mental health to use it to say, okay, you're not fit. Now, if you're not fit, there's one thing, but if you're not a danger and are actively taking care of your children and not putting yourself or your kids in danger, nobody should be using your mental health against you, but people will. So stop divulging the information to people, even the people you think are for you. Be very careful. Process the information that you're receiving from therapy first. Allow the information that you're using to in therapy to work in you, because a lot of times when we hear things from our therapist, we're supposed to be actively working that out when the time is right. So if your therapist says you need to do more of this and less of that, do those things in real time versus giving that information and giving the ammunition to somebody to use against you. I'm not telling you that you have to walk like you're scared because somebody may come against you. What I'm telling you is that people be peopling, and you need to be sure you take care of you and protect yourself as well. If you choose to have one person that you share things with that you have tried and true, and you have decided that that is your one person, make sure that you give them general information. Don't give them specifics. It's just my opinion. And you could say maybe because I got burnt. Yes, I did. I got by my own husband. We talked about this millions of times before. My own husband, in my personal opinion, divulged my information to some of his friends who, again, I am not close to. Now, part of that could have been him needing to have somebody to talk to because, again, my depression at the time was so heavy that he needed to have an outlet. That is one way to look at it. The other way of looking at it was there were certain aspects of my healing journey that did not need to be told. Thus is why I then now at the point where I'm going to tell it before you tell it. Not even that I feel like he's going to tell it now, but I'm going to tell it because if I choose to tell it, I'm giving it life. If you choose to tell it, you're telling it so that you can try to use it for something against me later on. And let's be honest, let's be clear. I've said this before. I have personally marked those friends. My relationship to them will probably never get as close, not just because of what happened. And this is why you don't divulge information about your partner to other people, because it always puts a wedge in between the relationship. The second that I discovered what happened, the second that I knew, I stopped fooling with those people right off the bat. One, I didn't even see the value of one even really continuing a relationship with them because the struggle was already there. When that happened, it kind of sealed it for me. So maybe it was you were looking for a way to get out. God provided it. And I said, thank you, God, and walked right through the door. Again, it wasn't taken. I'm not losing sleep. I'm not losing value. I'm not losing anything from cutting those relationships off or putting some boundaries in place. But the fact that the information was divulged in the first place should not have happened. And I am telling you that unless you want it out and said into the world, don't put certain information in certain people's hands. You just can't. One last story that I want to end with that I saw on the internet that I do want to talk about really, really quick, and we're going to wrap this up for this week's episode, is the conversation with this young lady who was talking about, you know, she was married for 20 something years, discovered that her husband was cheating. Here she was, a stay-at-home mom. She wasn't working. She put all of her energy into the fact that her husband took care of everything. And when everything came down, she was separating without a job and she was on the struggle bus. I need every woman under the sound of my voice to get a job, to get some income. You may say to yourself, I need to be at home because it costs more money to put my kids in daycare. I know that. I've been there. I've done it. I used to almost feel like I was giving my whole check to daycare. And for some people, it's worth it to have that inner adult interaction. I'm going to tell you this, do what you can until you can do something different. I did it for a while until I found a way to, one, work at night, or I found a way to work in part-time so that when I would work during the day while they were at school, I can come and pick them up and then continue my life, but I had my own income. Every woman needs to have in some form of income. If you have a skill set, and if you don't, get one. If you don't have your driver's license, you don't have your permit, I need you to get your driver's license, get your permit, and get your driver's license. You should not have to wait until somebody takes you somewhere to go somewhere. And if you're single and you're above 20 something years old, get your permit, get your driver's license. Okay? Because that's the first thing you'll be able to do before you can even begin to start to get a car. And a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't know if I can be able to get a car. You can. It may take a while and it may not be the best car off the front of the lot, but you can get something. Every woman needs to find a way to be self-sufficient. If you don't know the bills of the home, change that. Why don't you know who the mortgage company is? How much is being paid? Even if you're paying rent, how much or where is the rent being paid? What does the water bill look like? How much is it? What's the account number? You should know the account number of all of the major bills. It shouldn't matter that the husband pays for everything. First of all, we're going to come out of that. We're going to make sure that we are being contributors to our families and contributors to ourselves. If nothing, you want to have free money on you so that you can do and move any type of way. This has nothing to do with whether your person cheats on you. Cheating is not the only reason for you to be independent. Independent is making sure that you can, if you should ever have to, bring in money. Because a lot of people, I've met so many women, especially like in my old church, my hometown church, that didn't know how to write a check, who could not balance a checkbook, who don't know the finances, who still don't have driver's license, didn't have a permit, didn't have a car, husband does it all, and you don't know what's going on. Something happens to that man, something happens, you are not going to be able to have any strong skill sets to build and bring in an income for your family. Especially you who want to have 17, 11 children. You can have as many as you want. You can have as many as you want. I don't care. But I'm always going to tell people that you want to make sure that you have enough of a skill set that if you had to go back into the work field that you could. Whenever a woman has a baby, they already put their chances in the work field. They already bring themselves already down just from the way that the work first works and how they look at women who have children, who have families. That's just first off the bat. Most successful Black, or not even Black women, women and people in general have struggles the second they have a child. I remember when I went to this one job, the person should have never said it, and I actually should have did a lawsuit, but, you know, whatever. They were like, well, do you plan on having more kids? You know what they were asking? Basically, how much do I have to accommodate you when you're here at this job? That's what they wanted to know. Because women who work are a liability to a company. It's only the men who work that they don't see as a liability. But women who work are a liability to the company, and that's how they see it, especially when you are at the age where you can still possibly have children. So I need every woman to get some form of income into your home. You can do something online. You can start making up something to sell. I don't care what it is that you do, but start getting an income underneath you and start getting on your skill sets. There's too many free classes out here for you not to have starting to get some type of an education. You can do an online education. You can do some type of certification. You can do something, but get these skills strong in you. Keep them up to par because you never know when you have to go back into the workforce. Again, this is not about a man cheating. This is about you having something that you can bring into this world and give and put out to this world that can help you take care of your family. One thing I will say, and I will end with this, don't have more children that you financially could not take care of on your own if you had to. If I would have had more cognitive mind to say I need to be more in control of my fertility, I would have taken it by the rein and done what I needed to do from the very beginning. It wasn't until I got to my second child that I was like, hold up. I need to have, no, tie this up. I asked to have my tubes tied. The doctor denied me because I was 30, I might've been 30, 31, and the doctor wouldn't do it. I was married by then, and the doctor still, wouldn't do it because they're like, you're still young, you're 30, you can still have more kids. It wasn't until I had to put my foot down and be like, absolutely not. Okay. I just didn't want this have that happen. And so I had to put my foot down and eventually got my way, ended up having my tube side after my third child. And then through health reasons, having a full hysterectomy, which I'm not ashamed of because I'm living my best life. Like not having my Aunt Flo come to visit me, we living good over here. But again, take in charge of your fertility. Don't have more kids that you could not take care of on your own if you had to. And I know husbands feel left out in this conversation. I'm not telling you that you should be left out. I think it is a conversation that you should have with your husband. But I think at the end of the day, ultimately, you need to be the one that decides. Some husbands want all these children that they know they can't take care of. They can't even take care of them. Y'all struggling from week to week, check, paycheck to paycheck, because you can't take care of the kids that are being produced. But please be more careful about who you bring into this world. Make it be your choice, because at the end of the day, it could very well break down to it being on you to take care of them on your own. So do with that information you will. I know some of y'all going to chop me up in the blog and the notes and all the other stuff. You can do so, but I stand firm on trying to empower women to do what works best for them than to make a decision based upon a husband that you may not find that he could, you know, God forbid, pass away before it's time. I've had my own family members who I've seen. I have a cousin in particular, her husband that passed away. And I think she's in her 40s because I'm in my 40s. She has to be in her 40s and she's raising those beautiful babies on her own. And does she want to raise those babies on her own? No, I'm sure she would love to have her husband here, but he is not. And she is taking care of those babies, doing a good job, by the way. shout out to you. But at the end of the day, don't have more kids than you're willing to take care of. Life is not guaranteed. Marriages are not a guarantee, and no man is a financial plan. And if you think that, if you've been told that, if you've been taught that, I'm not telling you that what you were taught was wrong. I'm telling you should think about it a different way. You don't have more kids that you could not financially on your own. And that's without any state assistance. Okay, that's without state assistance. If you cannot afford them without the state having to come in and help you pay for the things that your kids need, like housing and food and shelter. If you can't take care of the bare bone basics, don't have no more than you are willing to take care of on your own. I can't stress it enough. I want women to be empowered. I want them to be free. I want them to do what works for them, even if it is having 17 children. That's your body. My body said hell to the no. I'm not here for that. Like, for me, that was not something I wanted to ascribe to. You know, people use the Bible and they say that the Bible says to be fruitful and multiply. One times one is still one. There's still multiplication. One times two is still multiplication. One times three, still multiplication. I don't need to get one times 20. I don't need to get to one times 12, but that was the choice that I made for me, for my family, for my body. My children deserve the best of what I can give them. And when you have a bunch of kids, you can't give them all the same thing. Everybody can't get their same room. Everybody can't do outside activities. Everybody can't take up dance and all these certain things because they cost money. Unless you're getting them for free, everybody can't do something. And it's not fair to the oldest child to have to watch your children. And here's the thing. If you need your oldest child who is of age to help you watch your children, you need to be paying them. Yes, I'm saying it because I'm going to say it. Unless there's an emergency that's happening, I can understand. But on a regular, if you need your kids to watch your kids because you couldn't afford a babysitter, you need to at least pay them something, because it's not fair that that child who did not ask to come here and did not ask you to have more kids should be on the hook to babysit all of your children just because you decided to have them. That's not fair to them. They are young. They are trying to figure out themselves, their lives, their social. Make sure you at least put some money in their hand instead of just walking out the door talking about that's your siblings. You need to watch them. Let's get out that old school mindset. Give them babies some money for watching the kids you decide to have. Because again, they didn't ask for them siblings. You brought them here. And on that note, I didn't mean to be loud or mean to be rude or tell anybody off at the end. I just want us to make better just choices and decisions for what we choose to do, what we put out into the world. And if you're happy and you love it, like my mom would tell me, if you like it, I love it for you. You can have as many as you want. They could come off of each other's foot on about the womb, just long as they don't come over here. As long as I don't got to pay for them, as long as I don't got to take care of them, I can't tell you what you can and cannot do. This was not about that. This is about you empowering yourself to know what it is that you actually want to do. Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Do you feel strong? Do you feel confident? Are you grateful for the things that you can do? Are you doing as much as you can? And if you are, God bless. But if you're not, just make different decisions, okay? Thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy. We will be back next week. I can't wait. This week, has been absolutely amazing. And again, the DNC was everything that it needed to be and then some. So have yourself a great weekend. I didn't even tell you what today's national holidays are. What am I thinking? Today is Friday, October the 23rd. Again, today is Friday, August 23rd, and it is Find Your Inner Nerd Day. That is a day for me, because let me tell you something, that be me. I am definitely an inner nerd. I'm okay with that. It's also National Sponge Cake. If you like sponge cake, hey, it's your day. Today is also no Cheap Flight Day. It means you should be able to find cheaper flights. So if you're looking to go and travel for a little bit, today is a day to book that. Go on ahead and book it. Today is also National Ride the Wind Day, Slavery of Remembrance Day. And for you lovers of the Cuban sandwich, it is National Cuban Sandwich Day. So many things for you to either reference or celebrate on this a fine Friday. Have the most amazing weekend, and thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Toy.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.